If you're listening to this, then you likely already know that being an independent musician can be a lonely road. And maybe your friends and your family just don't fully understand why you do what you do or why you invest so much time, energy, and money towards achieving your music goals. And especially early on, it can be hard to find people who really understand what you're trying to accomplish and how to make it happen. So that's where Modern Musician comes in. My name is Michael Walker, and you know, I can understand and relate to that feeling. I've been there myself, and so has our team of independent artists. And the truth is that basically everything good in my life has been the result of music. It's the reason I met my wife. It's why I have my three kids. It's how I met my best friends. And now with Modern Musician, we've seen so many talented artists who started out with a dream, with a passion, but without really a fan base, without a business, and be able to take that and turn it into a sustainable full-time career and be able to impact hundreds of thousands, even millions of fans with their music. And we've had thousands of messages from artists who've told us that we've helped change their lives forever. And it just gets even more exciting, fulfilling when you're surrounded by a community of other people who get it and who share their success and their knowledge with each other openly. And so if you are feeling called to make your music a full-time career and to be able to reach more people with your music, then I want to invite you to join our community so that we can support your growth and help lift you up as you pursue your musical dreams. You'll be able to interact in a community with other high-level artists, coaches, and industry professionals, as well as be able to participate in our daily live podcasts, meet these amazing guests, and get access to completely free training. If you'd like to join our family of artists who truly care about your success, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up now.
The way to use the tool would be rather to understand who your first audience is.
Welcome to the Modern Musician Podcast, where each week I help you turn your passion for making music into a profitable career. This is all about you discovering and expressing who you really are so that you can build a loyal fan base that truly resonates with you and with your music. And you can impact more people with your artwork. I'm your host, Michael Walker, and let's get into it. All right. Excited to be here today with my new friend, IL Gagone. Let's go. I think I pronounced it somewhat right. I probably butchered a little bit, but I got close.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Yes. Awesome. IL. So IL is the partnership executive at Soundcharts. So if you're in the music industry, then you probably are familiar with Soundcharts. If you're not, then I would definitely recommend checking them out. They have an amazing reporting system that basically helps you keep a finger on the pulse of your metrics and your insights. And so he advises artists and music record labels how to use their data to plan their releases, pitch to industry pros, grow their fan base. And this really, for me, one thing that is dawning on me right now, because I've experienced like the effects of not having clear KPIs and metrics, is how important analytics are just in general, like having a finger on the pulse. The metaphor that comes to mind is it's sort of like driving down the highway. And if you don't know what your metrics are, if you don't have insights, it's sort of like having a blindfold on and you're like, hold on to this car that might be going fast. But you know, maybe if you know how to drive, you can keep it going for a little bit, but at a certain point it's going to start to veer off track and you're going to lose that insight. So Soundcharts, you know, basically lets you take the blindfold off to see what's happening. So IL, really looking forward to connecting today, and I appreciate you taking the time to be on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Very excited about this discussion today. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. So IL, maybe to kick things off, could you share just a quick introduction to yourself, how you got started at Soundcharts, and maybe sort of like the heart of what do you think is like the core problem that that you focus on with Soundcharts?
So maybe a quick intro about me. So I've been working for the past 7 years in the industry. I started working at a radio station, already back then, it was not so long ago, but back then you had like little to no analytics for the programmers at the time to know like if a song was played on the radio, even on their own radio station. So you had like no way of like extracting a CSV of plays on like your own. And it wasn't like a small station. It was like a medium sized station that you could hear, that is broadcasting nationally in France. And so this was like a short time after that. I joined Soundcharts, where I started to build the partnership department, meaning as soon as there is someone who might be interested in analytics, or who might want to integrate our solution for specific key needs, well, at one point it goes through me, because there is an automation somewhere, or because they end up having a meeting with me. So Soundcharts, to tell you a bit more about what we do, you can see it as a huge data aggregator that you can access through a login, like you would, have a Netflix account, or like you would go to IMDb to check stats about like movie stars and ratings for movies. Well, it's exactly the same, but for the music industry. So we have like that huge radar that we started building 10 years ago when the world was a bit simpler. As soon as anything happens for any artist out there, we have ways of knowing that it happened. Meaning we track the traditional media, radio stations, we track streaming platforms, and we monitor, of course, social media services. So we aggregate all of that and make it all available in one place. So one of the main thing that we see at Soundcharts is indeed having musicians and professionals as well who are not really equipped, who don't know actually how to do their reporting and how to use it, and how to use all of the tools that are out there to actually make decisions and to set measurable goals and objectives. It's like the metaphor that you used about like driving, but don't know exactly where you're driving. You're sure that you're going 90 miles per hour, but you don't know where exactly. So like every day you can like wake up and post a bunch of things and like release some stuff, but you don't really know what's the reality in your niche. You don't know like how exactly your profile is performing. You don't know maybe that you had a radio play in a key station. It might be interesting for you. So long story short, we try to solve that by aggregating everything and have like one source of truth. So as an artist, you don't need to go back every day to a dashboard and look at maybe empty graphs, or having like 10 tabs open with all of your Spotify for Artists and the others open. But you have like one source of truth where you can log in once in a while, and then also set up alerts and notifications, so that as soon as something happens, you're the first to know. But you're not doom scrolling an empty dashboard again. So that's basically what we're trying to do. And building this unified database allows also other tools to be plugged to our data sets and display part of what we're tracking and collecting to show that like marketing campaigns had indeed an impact, to do some reporting about radio plays. So we are a data aggregator. We have a platform, but there are also a bunch of use cases that you can have using Soundcharts and our data, in a nutshell.
Cool. Man, that is so awesome. So what I'm hearing you say is that really like the core purpose is because there's so many different platforms and social media, you know, profiles someone might have, and try to keep track of all the analytics in all the different places is basically next to impossible. So what you've created is a solution that brings it all into one dashboard, one place, so you can keep a finger on the pulse of what's happening. I'm super excited to dive into more of the platform integration level in terms of like, what does this look like to integrate this with our software as a service? And I'm curious to dive deeper into the product. What are all of the, like, I've been curious around what are the platform limitations in terms of integrating with, like, you know, from like an API standpoint, like Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and YouTube? And I'm curious what platforms you're able to pull in from, and what the lay of the land is in terms of, like, what metrics do you have access to? What metrics just does no one have access to? What does that look like?
It's an interesting question, because the first thing to understand is that we only track and monitor what's public. So anything that's private, we're not able to collect, track, monitor. It's impossible for us. So a radio play, by essence, is public, because you can sort of shazam it and say, oh, that's actually this song. That's basically what we do on scale. We just, for the radio, we just shazam thousands of streams, of online streams, and we know whatever is being played on air. For the streaming and social part, we're mainly plugged to public APIs, and so we're able to get everything that's public and to consolidate the data, meaning you never have two platforms that actually agree with each other when it comes to even performing artist profiles. I'm not even talking about composers or pure producers, etc. Just like Spotify profiles, you might have platforms that aggregate all of the music of all artists that are called Atlas in one profile. So you could do like metal or a folk music, or be a jazz band called Atlas. This is, in our humble opinion, not a very good idea, because you'll end up in the very generic profile of all DSPs. And so you'll have like one DSP telling us, well, that's actually this profile, and another DSP telling us, well, it's actually this other profile. And so our expertise is to define what's actually the truth behind what platforms send us. So regarding social media, we track, of course, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok metrics. So either engagement, number of followers, of course, how the music is being used in short videos, but also where are the fans from, and what are the notable followers, so the biggest account following a specific key account. And streaming wise, well, it could be about chart entries, about playlist entries, about monthly listeners, popularity scores, in actually any platform. So it could be the main Western platforms like Spotify, or it could be more local platforms like Ghana, Jio7 in India, like Melon in Korea, like AudioMac, Boomplay. All of these we also track and aggregate. But again, two platforms won't exactly share the same metrics and won't have the same way of displaying, for instance, streams, which is a very key metric when it comes to the music industry. Some platforms don't share it publicly, some platforms do. So our role is just to aggregate everything, and even more importantly, to aggregate also the metadata layer, so that we're sure to look at one artist's profile, which is from the correct nationality, the correct has the correct language, music genre, etc. And so we have a collaborative platform, meaning that users can come to the platform. You have a premium tier. You can just log in, input all of your information, and submit. And so that we will have your profile as clean as possible, which might be quite important, as more than often platforms, or actually people trying to discover new talents and songs, might end up using tools like Soundcharts to do their discovery. So having a very clean profile on those tools, like, will increase your chance at being discovered by someone who's just going through a listing of songs and saying, well, let's look at the songs that are from Germany, that metal, and that are sung in German, And so, yeah, if your metadata and data is correct, you have a higher chance at being discovered. So, yeah, to give you a global idea of like, what we track and how we do it.
Mm. Super interesting. So when it comes to tracking like cross-platform analytics, what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, there's some smart logic that looks up the artists on all the different platforms, but because they're all different platforms, they all have different, you know, data structures, sometimes matching the artist to the right artist on all the platforms is a good thing to sign up and review and make sure that it's clean, that it actually is matched correctly. And I'm curious from like a, so I'm approaching this from a platform integration standpoint as well, like with our software as a service. And you know, I'm thinking like, if we were to integrate something like SoundCharts, what would that look like from an integration standpoint? How do you normally map to like external integrations and platforms in terms of how do they share identifiers in order to make sure that they're like reaching the right people?
So indeed, it's a good question. It's different from the dashboard. So the API, our API, powers our dashboard, but also powers a bunch of other dashboards. And chances are, even if you've never seen SoundCharts, you've seen our data set before because you've seen it on other tech tools that you may use. You have tools that music discovery using AI, for instance. Well, you might need at one point a data set and a layer of intelligence to know what artist profiles are, to know the metadata about these, etc. So on our end, our API is very straightforward to use. Each artist, each song has a unique identifier. And we also aggregate all of the identifiers from all platforms. So if you were to use SoundCharts API tomorrow, either you have a listing of names or you have a listing of URLs and therefore platform identifiers, or you could even have a platform of industry identifiers, meaning ISRCs. Like using these, you can like get a song or get a song by ISRC or get an artist using a platform ID. And it's very straightforward. You get all of the metadata associated with that artist. You get, again, the country, the genre, the biography, the asset, the image, and all metrics that we were able to collect from the followers to the monthly listeners and the TikTok usage. And then it's just a question of being a bit tech savvy to integrate it all and to know how how to work your way around APIs, our API is very fast and easy to use. So it's a fun way to get to know what we track is to just go to our developer API and click try it out. We have a sandbox environment, and so once you get rid of Billie Eilish and Tones and I data, you just generate a token. And then you can start hitting the API with real life examples.
Super cool. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, we might end up being a customer for you in terms of using the API and creating a dashboard for it. So looking forward to diving more into that. And I think my next question would be around, you know, it's one thing to have the dashboard and have understanding of the metrics and to have all of the numbers that they need. And it's another thing to like use those metrics and pay attention to them and set targets against them and stay on track, you know, towards goals that are meaningful to them. So I'd love to hear from your perspective, having worked with, you know, a lot of artists who are using the platform and using it to grow their career and their fan base. What have you seen that kind of separates folks who are having the best results and are really making the most traction and using the tool to help them accomplish their goals versus artists that you know, might give up early or are struggling to use it?
So there are there are a lot of different ways of using Sontras. There are no specific steps from which it starts to become interesting. You can already use it from a very early stage, but you won't have at all the same usage. So when you are a very small artist, when you just start your career, again, it's useless to look at empty graphs and where you see like no streams or sales, and you don't have any radio plays, you don't have any editorial playlist entries. So the way to use the tool would be rather to understand who your first audience is. So we have demographics around who is the typical follower for Instagram or YouTube or TikTok following you, and trying to understand who's the persona, how old, male, female, where that person lives. Do I have any notable followers, big account following my account? And so you're more focused on the social media part of things. Also, what you can do is, as I mentioned, you can just set up a report. And so that every day or every Wednesday, for instance, you receive in your mailbox a short summary of what has happened in the past 7 days for your profile. So you're sure to like not to miss anything without spending too much time on it. Then when you start to grow a bit, start to receive some, to have some playlist entries, maybe a couple of radio plays, you start to see more data points that are active and more notifications maybe. And so here for that size, it is interesting to compare actually your profile with other artists in the same niche. Again, knowing that you have a radio play in itself, it's you're like, okay, I have that radio play, but then what do I do? Well, the first thing maybe to do if you have like a radio play from a small radio station is to maybe reach out to a PR and say, well, there is some kind of traction that is happening right now. Let's maybe convert that, and let's maybe if something happened like once or twice, we like it's the beginning of a story to tell. Another thing that you can do, even if it's a very small radio play, you can like write something on Twitter X and say, hey, thank you to name of the radio station, and very happy to have been played in this show. That's wonderful. And we always advise artists to do that, because that small radio station, it might be the same person looking at Twitter, sorry, X, and being the actual DJ who put your song on air. First you need to know what's happening to then define measurable goals, and to like start wondering what's the next step. And it could be very small steps at the beginning. But this example with the radio station illustrates that anything can be a signal, and you can use any signal to build your story within the industry. And it's just like planning a tour. You don't do Madison Square Garden on day one. First, you'd like to like understand who is your audience, where is your niche. Having some artists, what you can do on Sontras is do discovery. So you can very easily say, well, who are the artists that are in my music genre and who actually emerged but 1 year ago or 6 months ago, and what exactly did they do on social media, what did they do on streaming platforms, what was their strategy. And you can really like highlight like 4 to 5 profiles very easily by listing artists, All of that you can do with a free account on SoundShot. You don't have to pay a full subscription to it even to do that. This allows you from the first moment where you experience growth to have a place where you compare yourself to other profiles and without it being too toxic, and just setting up notifications and logging in again once in a while and making sure that everything is aggregated so that when something happens, people discover you and also you know it so that you can act on it.
Cool. Yeah, good stuff. So, I mean, it sounds like what you're saying is if we compare this to the driving analogy, you know, before you start driving anywhere, you kind of want to figure out like where are you trying to get to? Where are your goals? So at the beginning, like using the platform to figure out your target audiences and understand your demographics, understand where you're going, sort of like step number one is like planning your trip. And then if you're going on a trip, like you probably want to see other people who've gone on the trip before and see what route did they take. And so it's kind of seeing, you know, where, how did they get there? Like they're at that destination already. So it's like, how did they go from here to there? And learning from that. How you're using the tool changes quite a bit based on how, like what stage that you're at. If you're already on the road, if you're driving, then you want to make sure you don't have that blindfold on. You are checking this regularly and it gives you synced updates, you know, weekly, which is great. This driving analogy really has some, I was going to say some legs, there's some more wheels. It's got wheels. Cool. So I'm curious having this kind of perspective from being able to understand trends that are happening in the music industry and having access to the data and kind of, and also seeing what's working across different artists and what some of those different, like those waves are. I'm curious if you have any perspective just in terms of where do you think that things are headed moving forward in, you know, 1 to 5 years as it relates to the wider music industry, in particular for like indie artists who, you know, are the folks who are like watching or listening to this right now. What are some of the trends that you're noticing like in the larger data set that if someone's listening to this or watching this right now, they might want to consider swimming along with the current of the wave that's coming?
In terms of data aggregation, you don't have like huge hidden data set of public data that awaits for us to collect it. Like everything, almost everything that's public in terms of main metrics, we already started to collect this. So today using SoundShots or like that type of tool, you already get the global picture. So in terms of, again, data aggregation, we've reached sort of a ceiling. Of course, there are a lot of things that we're adding daily to the platform regarding the live industry, regarding some moods, lyrics analysis. So there are a lot of other layers of intelligence that do exist. But as artists today, if you log into SoundShots, you have like everything that someone can collect about a specific profile. Then it's more about, again, like you said, what to do with it. Looking at graphs, you can already start to build a strategy. Something that we're seeing a lot, and I don't know if it's a good thing. I don't know how it will work on the long term. I haven't tried any of these solutions yet, but you see a lot of AI managers that are actually apps to which you pay a subscription to, and that actually also more than often are plugged to our API to have a layer of intelligence on which they build to know if an artist logs in, on which niche is this artist in, which radio stations play that kind of music, which playlists are interesting, getting creators profiles, etc., so that they would recommend actions for any size of artist and any music genre. It will be very interesting to have that discussion in 5 years, because a lot of these companies may start building interesting products, or they might just not work at all and not be a good fit for our industry. But currently that's where we see a lot of also for us a new business happening. I'll be very curious to see that, because what they can do is from the data set that exists and from what the artist tells them about their strategy and the links that they provide, they can build a strategy, and they can also go to the next step. The next step being generating assets and automating posts on social media, planning a 4-week marketing plan before a concert, for instance. So for a lot of, again, I don't know if it's good or bad, for a lot of artists who may not want to invest all their time on Instagram and writing posts they're not comfortable with, it might partly help them. That would be a very interesting thing to listen to my answer to this question in 5 years and have a laugh, because I would have completely missed the point, and the industry would have gone a completely different direction. But
Cool. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense. So what I'm hearing you say is that one interesting development that you're starting to notice is, like the rest of the world and not every industry, AI is starting to enter the equation, and having an intelligent agent that can take actions on behalf of, you know, our situation to give us guidance and advice, something that is an interesting trend. And so starting to use these tools to help support your career and to basically give you plans and action steps, you know, towards those goals. You know, coming back to our driving analogy, is maybe it's like having a GPS, you know, sort of like, you know, installing a GPS into the car so that based on the metrics, based on what, you know, the car is seeing on its dashboards, it's able to create that navigation to kind of get you where you want to get to. That's cool. I don't think you're going to look crazy in 5 years. I mean, to me, that feels like a definite, like, yeah, that's where things are headed towards, just more and more of like a co-pilot / intelligence agent that sort of like a personal guide or assistant. And it'll be interesting to see like how much that comes from like one generalized model versus like a very like hyper-focused, like specific model. Or maybe both, like the specific model is like built on like the wider one, and then there's all the different like sublets. But what a time to be alive that we get to sort of like witness this birth of this level of intelligence.
I do agree, and it's definitely more interesting than the Web3 thing that happened 5 years ago. So I believe the AI is more promising in its daily implications for both tech companies, artists, and also, of course, the like professionals in the industry.
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree. And it could even, in a roundabout kind of way, could lead to more of a need for Web3 in terms of like verification or authenticity. Because now, I mean, the AI is getting so good at generating fake stuff that it's sort of like what's real, what's not real. So you can see a potential. I'm not like a huge Web3, like I understand all of it and blockchain, but from what I understand, it has some valuable use cases potentially in that that need of being able to verify authenticity of content. Maybe it'll find its way around. Sir, an analogy with driving that we can bring Web3 into. It's like you have like a burglar who hops into your car he says he's a cop, but you're like, is this actually a cop? And then he shows you his badge, and the badge shows he's a cop. We're stretching. It doesn't fit it quite as nicely as the rest of them. Cool. Okay, so curious, what do you think are some of the biggest mistakes? That artists and or partners, that like want to integrate the platform. Like, what are some of the common pitfalls or mistakes that you'd recommend that they avoid as they get started using the platform?
You have two things actually. As always, you have the dashboard itself, and you have that using the data itself to build other tools, which are two different things that come with different layers of expertise. But when using the platform, the most frequent thing that we see is people making decisions based on only one vertical. At some shots, we again aggregate and try to make sense of everything by having the radio, the playlists, the charts, the audience, all in one place. So that if you have a peak on Shazam somewhere, maybe it's a radio play. So making decisions just based on, touring decisions based on only artists, monthly listeners is, of course, a bad idea. But of course, this specific example, we rarely see anyone doing it like that. But it's always about looking at the bigger picture, and comparing several verticals. Another common mistake that we see is people focusing on metrics that do not really matter for their size. So again, streams where you are a very small artist and not focusing enough on the audience part of things. And another thing that we see is also people being very hyped about a lot of tools and actually spending too much money on a bunch of tools and having the impression of being very well equipped. But actually, it's not because you pay for a subscription that you end up growing or that it really makes a difference. So it's really about picking the right tool, picking a lot of free models and freemium tiers and alternatives, and only invest when you start to see that it starts to make sense and make a difference. And of course, the last mistake that we see is people just like looking at this and not transforming it into actionable, measurable goals, and comparing profiles. And this is it sounds obvious, but we actually rarely see it. The first usage is looking at our own profile and being like stuck like a deer in the I don't have the English word
in
for
the in the headlights.
Yeah, in the headlights, yeah. Exactly. To keep the
you got the car analogy back.
Yeah.
Nice.
Actually, regarding people trying to integrate our data in their system, we rarely see a lot of mistakes because most of the time they have a specific goal in mind. Let's say I have a marketing tool. And I want to integrate SunShots data. It's for a reason. It's not just to rebuild SunShots in your own tool, because that doesn't make sense. Because you want to prove your point. Here, your point is you were right paying for my marketing solution. And look at your stats. They start to go up right after you start paying me. So that's the bias that they have, and so most of the time it's very straightforward, and in a couple of weeks, sometimes days, everything is well integrated, because we offer some smooth integration and communication with the rest of the team to make sure that you understand what the metrics are, that your users understand these as well. As on our end, we already built a tool that was displaying these metrics. But we're always happy when we see our data being used in someone else's dashboard, because we believe that those metrics should be directly in the tools that people use on a day-to-day basis. So it shouldn't be locked in some charts or other places. It should be spread where you need it to be. So we really believe in a collaborative industry on this.
Mm. Awesome. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So to repurpose it into our metaphor, what I'm hearing you say is that one of the biggest mistakes is when you're getting started on that trip and maybe you've defined where you're trying to get to and you're about to set out on that path. One of the temptations is to get a really super fancy schmancy car that's like super expensive, maybe outside of your budget. And to be fair, like, it looks cool or whatever, but do you really need it? You know, to go from point A to point B? No, maybe take a look at your actual budget and what's actually going to be helpful. And if your goal is just to go from, from point A to point B, then you don't necessarily need the Ferrari or something in order to get there, but you just need to figure out what you actually do need. And there are great tools and freemium models and things to explore to do that. Cool. I think that was the most obvious metaphor that came up with the car one, but lots of great insights there overall. Cool. Yeah. And then using the tool, not just using it to like a deer in the headlights and just using it for your own data, but using it and actually comparing the demographics and the market and what are other people doing. And some of those techniques that you suggested earlier around not only looking at where people are at now, but also looking at the path that they took to get there and looking back at, what were they doing, at the time that they were at your starting point right now. So you can kind of reverse engineer that path. Sweet. Well, Eyal, this has been a lot of fun. Yeah, I've been known to be like a metaphor kind of guy, but I feel like we took it to the next level. During this ride, we took it up a gear. We shifted gears, and we're going down the highway fast. So it's fun having you on the podcast. I appreciate what you're doing with SoundChart, and looking forward to diving deeper into the tool for ourselves as well, and like integrating it from like a platform partnership standpoint. For any artists who are watching or listening to this right now, and they think this sounds great and they want to learn more or dive deeper, where do you recommend they go to connect more?
Well, they can, of course, go to soundchart.com and create a free account. Again, you can leverage a lot of things out there without having to enter any credit card details. And if you want to personally reach out, you can always do so on LinkedIn. Sorry, my name is a bit hard to pronounce, and you maybe see the spelling in the name of the episode, but it's Eyal Gigon.
Awesome. Yep, and like always, put all the links in the show notes for easy access. And Eyal, it's great having you on the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Many thanks. It was wonderful.
Hey, this is Michael, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. I hope you found it really valuable, and if you did, if you want to share the word, we really appreciate you leaving a 5-star review on the podcast channel. If you want to learn more about the guest, you can check out the show notes for the links. And before you go, I wanted to remind you that I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application, share one of your songs. We look forward to checking out your music, and we'll see you in the next episode.